We're going to be finding a young man who was crying out in the midst of the darkest times. God was doing things for him. He was crying out to God in the midst of the darkest time. Blessed be your name. We want to look first this evening at Proverbs 29:18, and it says, where there is no vision, and that means a revelation from God, where there is no vision, a revelation from God, the people perish. And I want to ask God this evening that he would remember America and that he would pour out upon America revelations of who he is, revelations of the good things he wants to do, that we might be able to speak those things to people that live around us. Our God is not a God looking for the opportunity to be able to condemn. He's a God who's wanting to save people or to find people who need to be lifted up and have their lives turned towards something marvelous. And we want to thank God for that this evening. So we're going to be looking at a young man who, upon the things, the revelation that God gave to him, and we're going to be saying, Lord, make this a vision where people don't perish. So we're going to be looking at the book of Daniel this evening, and we're starting chapter 1, verse 8. There is a poem called The Second Coming by Yeats, and I don't know exactly what all he had in mind whenever he wrote it, but I know that whenever I hear it, my heart is quickened to the awareness of this day that we live in. I don't know if you all go to movies very much. There's a lot of movies that I don't want to have anything to do with because of how utterly gross the things are that they have to for you to think and do that. But every once in a while in a movie, I catch a thought where I think, how did God put that thought right there in the middle of that movie? Because I'm aware of the people that wrote it, and I'm aware of the people who acted it, and I'm thinking, they didn't even know. They didn't even have any idea that God was putting that thought. There are times that I easily cry in movies. To those of you that might come and catch me there, I apologize. I'm hoping that my open blubbering, I'll never forget the movie that I had to leave. I won't tell you the name of it, but it was a very sad one. Because I blubbered so openly and so loudly that I had to leave the movie. But I cry in movies because I hear things and my heart is quickened to the fact that here I am sitting in this place and heaven is calling me to himself. I'm being called up. And so we want to see here in Daniel tonight, I'm going to do a lot of reading. You're going to hear the Word of God. Because to be able to preach a message on these many verses that I'm going to be reading tonight, I don't have the time frame for that. But you need to hear the vision and the things that God gave, the revelation and the things that God gave to Daniel. And when we're living in the dark times we're living right now, we want to say God is still the God of revealing things to his people. And we have just about everything we need for the revelation right here in this book. Amen. Now, I want you to know that Peter said that whenever the day of Pentecost and they were all speaking in other tongues that they didn't know. And he said, this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. In those days I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Oh, pour out your spirit upon us, Lord. And your young men will have visions, and your old young men, your young people will have visions. They will be aware of that God is revealing things. And your older people will have dreams, and they will have gone into the awareness of God revealing things. And in their dreams, they will be aware of the fact that God keeps on speaking to them, even whenever they're in their downtime and asleep. So Daniel has been carried away, and in the book of Daniel, he's been carried away to Babylon. Babylon is a nation. It's a great and huge empire, 127 nations, but it is in a state of crumbling, of falling apart, like all great empires. And Nebuchadnezzar is He's trying to find people. He has so many people in his side of his own court, so many people that are so close to him that he cannot trust. You know, here's the thing. I don't know who's going to be the next president of the United States. But I want people that God can speak to be close to the ear of the next president. That's what I'm asking for. Because whatever that ear hears, that mouth will speak. And I'm asking for God to be close. Have a man, a woman that is close to that ear. Because I can tell you this, I don't like any person that I see on the scene. But whenever I vote, I'm going to be voting. I'm going to be and I'll do the best I can, but I'm going to be saying, God, you know who needs to be the next president because you have somebody close to their ear. And they may not be speaking the things they need to be speaking yet, but I believe that whenever you get that person in place, that they will begin to hear that and then they will begin to speak that thing which will be great for America. So we're going to listen to the first portion of Yeats, the second coming, turning and turning in a widening gyre. Turning and turning. The falcon cannot hear the falconer. Things fall apart. The center cannot hold. I want you to know that this poem wasn't written back during Nebuchadnezzar's day. But he felt that spinning out of control. I have a scar right here across the top of my glasses. If I were to leave it down like this and you got close enough, you'd be able to see it. Because my favorite thing to do was as a kid was to go wound and wound and wound and wound and wound and wound until I fell against something sharp. And had to have 8 stitches put in there. But we have seen all through history how that the world gets to spinning and spinning. And I'm not turning on its axis, but gets to be out of control. Why? Because we need a king. How many of y'all have a king tonight? And so it says, turning and turning in a widening gyre. The falcon cannot hear the falconer. Things fall apart. The sinner cannot hold. For anarchy is loosed upon the world. And a blood-dimmed tide is loosed, and everywhere the ceremony of innocence is drowned. Do you remember? I remember whenever I came to Liberty Baptist Church, the innocence of America. I don't know, maybe I was just stupid. But it seemed like we lived in such innocent times. And the innocence, the ceremony of innocency is drowned. The best. I love these thoughts that are in this first portion here. You need to, if you want to read this, I'll make a copy for you when we get finished. The best lack all conviction, while the worst are full of passionate intensity. Do we not see that true in the world today? Are y'all not being able to see that the world is spinning out of control, that America is spinning out of control, that this globalization that we have, are you not seeing it spinning out of control? We need to say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, because Jesus said, when all men are saying that, especially Israel, he said, I will come again. Amen. So now then, let's look at that. But Daniel in chapter 1, verse 8, and I'm just going to hit a few verses in this chapter, and we're on to chapter 2. But Daniel, this young man who had been forced forced into slavery. He had been forced to become a eunuch. Many men would say, I no longer want to live. I won't live. I will destroy myself. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. There's many ways to defile yourself. Follow me onto the internet and see if you can avoid all the places where you can defile yourself. Follow a certain lifestyle of eating, because that's what he was going to do here. He knew that although the Babylonians had the most amazing cuisine, that more than half of it was damaging to your body. And he was determined not to defile himself. Oh, that men, that God would be able to find men and women who would say, I want to walk the pathway you have for me. I don't want to defile myself, so that you're able to do great and mighty things in our midst. Now then, we're gonna find out, skip down to verse 17, because these eunuchs, these young men who would never have children, it says, and as for these four youths, God gave them knowledge and skill, and we know that their names are Daniel, Hananiah, Meshach, and Azariah, which would become Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And God gave them knowledge. And you know what has happened in America? If people don't know about God, can they expect Him to be involved in their lives? Well, He wants to be. But these four knew God, and even though horrible things had happened to them, they still requested of Him, give us what we need for today. Gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all revelations and dreams. Now, Daniel wasn't the first of God's people that did. I don't know if how many there were before Joseph, but we know Joseph had understanding in all dreams. Now, at the end of the days, there were about 3 or 4 years that they were in the college of learning how to become the ministers of Nebuchadnezzar. Why was Nebuchadnezzar taking these young eunuchs from all over the empire and preparing them to be his ministers? Because he couldn't trust his own. He was looking for someone with an amazing heart. Let me tell you something. Jesus is looking for someone who's willing to have him change their heart tonight. And so it says that they came to the end of those days, that the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king conversed, or he talked, or he communed with them, and among them all was found none like these four Hebrew slaves. Therefore they stood before the king. He put them on his, not his inner circle of advisors, but his inner circle of those who were closest to him, ministering to him every day. Some of his advisors did not have his ear like these four young men did on a daily basis, because they were with him. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better. Why? Because they had called to God and said, give us. How did it says here that God gave them? How could they get it unless that they had called out to God to give us? And we're going to find out later in these scriptures, if I'm able to read fast enough, because really, I'm going to just speak the scriptures pretty soon from this point, and you're going to hear the most amazing revelation of God's plan for these men and for the world today. And in all matters and understanding, he found them 10 times better than all the... And now that I want you to know, there were four main streams of thought in four great universities in all of the Babylonian Empire. Now, I want you to know that they weren't magicians in the fact that they were able to saw people in half, and they were able to do great things like that. Each one of these is speaking to them about these four great, and you'll find all four of them. We don't find them in this verse. These four great streams of thought are covered by them. He found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in his realm. And Daniel continued even to the first year of King Cyrus. Now then, get ready. I'm going to try to enunciate properly. I'm going to ask God to bless the word to your heart. And then next week, we will be able to get more in depth. I want you to know, Phil Thompson's stuttering lips and stammering tongue will now be reading. But you're going to hear God Himself speaking. We're going to read all through, as much through the chapter 2 as we can in the time we have. At chapter 2, verse 1, it's still in Hebrew. It's spoken directly to God's earthly chosen people. In chapter 2, verse 4, it changes over to the common language of the day. What is the common language that most of the world speaks today? English. So the common language of that day was Aramaic or Syriac. And so there, we're going to... So we know that whenever it changes over in verse 4, that God is now speaking to the whole world, and our job is to go out and to tell the whole world, if you're willing, you can hear God speaking to you. And I'm going to tell you tonight, if you're willing, you can hear God speaking to you tonight. Now, in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams. Now, remember, he was living a nightmare. He needed solutions. God began to invade his presence. Oh, that today in this election cycle, I told you I'm going to try to get off of me talking so much. Oh, in this election cycle, that God would begin to invade the presence of every one of us and of all our future leaders for His glory. And the king commanded to summon the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans. Here we find the four major streams of thoughts, the four major universities of learning. They may have been had a lot of different colleges everywhere, but these were the four major groups. And the king commanded to summon the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans. And I want you to know, the way that we look at these people today is pitiful, because these people were the had the best minds, and if they had been willing to be under the hand of God, there's no telling what God could have done for the whole world at that time. To show the king his dreams, so they came and stood before him. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spoke the Chaldeans, one of the four great streams of thought, to the king in Aramaic, changed from Hebrew, from speaking just to the Jews, to the whole world. O king, live forever. Tell your slaves this dream, and we will show you the interpretation. And the king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If you will not make known to me the dream with the interpretation of it, you shall die, cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a refuse or a dung hill. But if you show me the dream, reveal it to me. Oh, revelation. These men were not in any way prepared for revelation. Great thinkers, but not prepared for revelation. America needs revelation. But if you show me the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and the interpretation of it. And they answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. And the king answered and said, now then, why would I, now I know this fella was probably manic depressive. He was probably filled with anger all of the time and everything like that. But I want you to know that there's a reason why he's so demanding and he's wanting to put them to death. He's got problems that he doesn't know how to solve. This great empire is getting ready to fall apart. I'm hoping you're seeing a correlation here. And the king answered and said, I know for surely that you will gain time, seeing the thing is gone from me, but I'm not going to give you time if you will not make known to me the dream. There is but one decree for you, for you have prepared lies and corrupt words to speak before me till the time that my mind might be changed. Therefore, tell me the dream that I can know that you can show its interpretation. And the Chaldeans answered before the king. Now I want you to know something. They're telling the truth. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can reveal what the king wants to know. Therefore, there is no king, lord, or ruler that has ever asked of any magician, astrologer, Chaldean, or any of the others of us, anything like this. It is a rare thing that the king requires. There is no other that can reveal it before the king except maybe a god whose dwelling place is not with flesh. And they knew that their gods had not been telling them anything. Little pieces of wood, bone, stone, and clay. Or maybe they were big pieces of wood, bone, stone, and clay. But they weren't talking. In fact, they had never met a God that would speak to them. We know one. For this cause the king was angry and very furious and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. Cut them in pieces. And the decree went forth. Now he was solving a little bit of his problem. These people were openly plotting against him. Some of them. And he needed to figure out how to be able to keep them from bringing down this great empire. But he was going to create ever more. That's why we need leaders that have people that God can speak into their ear. And we cannot give up on the fact that our God is always working in the shadows. That there's one of us, or one that he can use, that can speak into that ear and catch that heart's attention. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and all of the wise men to slay them. Verse 14, then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain or the executioner of the king's guard, who was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. And he answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel, and he told him, there's problems in the kingdom. The king is very angry. He needs to know what, because in this dream, he's hoping to find solutions. Wow, there are dreams for America to find solutions today. And Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him an audience, that he would time that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven. How do you make known desiring mercies of the God of heaven? He asked them to just pray. We have power in prayer. We meet here at 7 o'clock every morning. We meet here at 7 o'clock every evening that I can remember. Friday evening, I tried to be here. I lost my focus somewhere on Friday. I think I was like a turkey out in the rain. Because a little later, somebody texted me and said, well, I thought you were coming, but you're not here. And I thought, what? It's 7 already? This time change thing just messes me up. I love for the sun to be up 24 hours a day. And he sent to them that they would desire mercies of God in heaven. We need to pray often, often, brothers and sisters, for these days that we live in. In fact, I'll tell you, one of the reasons why America's in the shape that it's in is because the church has not been intense. And as we go into these days, we're going to become intense, and God's going to wrap us up in everything he has prepared for us. I'll say that again. God is going to wrap us up, not like mummies, but in his protection and in his grace and in his mercy and in his help and in his gifts when we become intense. That his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision, in a revelation. God comes speaking to him, revealing some things to him. God's speaking to us tonight. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven, and Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his only. And he changes the times and seasons, and he removes kings, and he sets kings up. I don't have to worry about that. That's God's job. My job, your job, Our job is to participate in whatever way we can participate in faith. I've done the best I could, Lord. I'm putting it in now. If it's wrong, change it. I know you can't change the paper, but you're the one who changes times and seasons and removes kings and sets up kings. And he gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who know understanding. And he reveals the deep and dark things. And he knows what is in the darkness. And the light dwells with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O God of my fathers. This would be a good way to start out your prayer time. Just read verses 19 through 23 as you're getting ready to pray. I thank thee and praise thee, O God, thou God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might and made known unto me now what we desired, what we prayed for you, for thou hast made known unto us the king's matter. Therefore Daniel went into Arioch, whom the king had ordained as the executioner of the wise men of Babylon. And he went in and he said unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon, bring me before the king, and I will give the vision to the king and the interpretation. And when Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste and said thus unto him, I have found a man of the slaves of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. There have been times in my life whenever I have been so rebellious that I have not allowed God to use me as a blessing in certain places because I would rather that they not be blessed. Daniel could have had that spirit. But back in chapter 1, verse 8, he had purposed in his heart not to defile himself. What defiles us more than rebellion? And the king... verse 26, and the king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, are you able to make known unto me the dream that I have seen in the interpretation of it? And Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king has demanded, there's not a wise man, astrologer, magician, soothsayer, or a Chaldean that can reveal it unto the king. Now, you know something? I had have an idea that the king already knew this, but he was desperate. Do you all realize that we're living in desperate times? Every one of us need things that no one can reveal to us. No one can show them. CNN can't show it to us. ABC can't show it to us. Fox can't show it to us. But God can. Because he said, this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your young shall have visions, and your older shall have dreams. And there is not anyone that can reveal this to you, but there is a God in heaven. Everybody say that with me. There is a God in heaven who reveals secrets and makes known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Now, he's going to tell him about what's happening right now and how God's going to be with him. But he's also going to tell him what's going to happen in the latter days. And we've gone as far as we need to go this evening. Because we're standing at the great chasm of the latter days saying, what are we going to do now? Well, we're going to hear God talking. We're going to ask God to, out of the shadows, bring forth his slaves, his servants, to speak in the ear of the next leader of still the greatest nation on the earth, to speak to us as we're standing at the edge and saying, what are we going to do? And to us as we're standing at the edge and we're saying, what's happening with me? Suddenly it seems I've lost my way. I don't know whether to go to the right or the left. It seems like I don't have a purpose in life anymore. If you have got to the point where you don't feel like you have a purpose, you've not been hearing God. Because when you hear God, you hear him say, I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you. They are thoughts and plans of good. Start dancing. Don't wait till it happens. Start dancing in faith now. In fact, dance like you've never danced before. Jump higher than you've ever jumped before, because I've got thoughts and plans for you. In the midst, whenever things seem to be fall even further apart, dance harder. Get your praise bucket filled up. Sling it around everywhere you go. The praises fall out and people say, look at that woman, look at that man. Everything's falling apart for them. And yet, they're filled with faith, because he's going to show Nebuchadnezzar things that must happen in the latter days. And guess where we are? We are there in the latter days. And God has spoken to us tonight, saying, just like I had a Joseph, just like I had a Daniel, I've still got women and men today in my place to make the changes that need to be made in your family, in your community, in your church, in your nation, in Israel. I'm still God. Let's all stand. Now then, if you want to have a marvelous relationship with this God, you have to do it through Jesus Christ. It's not that he's picky. There's nobody else that can introduce you to the God of gods. He's the only pathway. He's the only one that can make you and this God able to come face to face, where the widening gyre is not spinning out of control, but everything is coming together face to face. My grace-filled Redeemer. To be redeemed has two actions. To be redeemed from something and redeemed to something. I've been redeemed from the destruction of sin and to the mighty plan and joy of God. Daniel could have said, there's nothing but destruction for me. I'll never see Israel again. My body is destroyed. But he chose to walk the pathway of trusting in the Redeemer, who wanted to take him from sin and towards the mighty, joyful plan of God. Father, I want to thank you for those that are here tonight. We have so many. Oh, we have so many that we've reached that time in the year where it's going to be difficult for them to be here. Oh, Lord, touch our hearts. Maybe we're able to go and to bring them here. Speak to them. Speak to us. Speak to them on these dark nights. Speak to us in this gathering darkness, so we will be able to say, ah, the darkness is nothing. I'm prepared to run the race. In Jesus' name, amen.